Welcome to the podcast, In the Company of Horses with Maryam Brewer, relationship-based horsemanship for the love of horses from A to Z. Today we're going to dive in to the letter A. Asymmetry that's natural to horses and humans. So first let's start with a definition of what is asymmetry. We're going to say that there's an absence of or a violation of what is natural symmetry. And that just means there's an inequality in our balance, in our overall balance in our body. It could be left to right. It could be front to back. So let's just take humans, for example. You likely notice that you have a larger foot and a smaller foot. You might have a larger hand and a smaller hand. You might have a longer leg and a shorter leg. If you look in the mirror, you might see that you have one eyebrow that's higher than the other, or one eye that's larger than the other. These are natural asymmetries. You are born this way. It didn't happen as a violation to your anatomy. It happened naturally, likely the way that you laid in your mother's womb, and when you were born, and even things like side dominance, like right side dominance or left side dominance. Now, these things start to naturally develop over the course of time, but these were not created because there was some insult. Now, there is a violation of the symmetry, which can happen because there's been some injury or some insult somehow to the symmetry in our body, to the balance in our body, to the overall balance in our body. And you know, a farrier that I once worked with wrote this book called Limb Length Disparity, and he calls it LLD, and it's about horses. And he said that probably all humans should wear, you know, shoemakers should make a little lift in the right shoe of all right shoes, because most people have a longer left leg. And I can tell you that it's true for me. And the way you can look at this for yourself is you can just put on your jeans like you normally would, or just notice people when they're walking around with their jeans, anything that has a seam that runs right up the center of your jeans in the back. And you'll notice just at the standstill, you'll notice if the seam is off center. And then you can tell that there's one leg that's longer than the other. So that would be, all that would be natural asymmetry for us. So then what happens is we become dominant over time. So let's just say now we're born and we're, you know, we're off to the races, you know, we're busy walking from place to place and pulling ourselves up and grabbing for objects, and we all of a sudden start to become dominant on one side or the other. And because we're using and teaching one side of our bodies differently than we're using and teaching the other side of our bodies, we become unbalanced or naturally asymmetrical, or we begin to lack symmetry because we're training our bodies to be one-sided or one-side dominant. That typically doesn't cause us a problem until we get to the horses. And I'll have people tell me all the time, well, you know, my left arm just doesn't work. It just doesn't do the right thing. I can't possibly walk on the right side of my horse. I'm not used to doing that. And that's exactly the truth. You've trained your body and your mind to be unbalanced by continuing to do the same thing over and over. And I promise you, when you start to train the other side of your body and you really give it responsibilities and you allow it to make mistakes and get fatigued and then get stronger and get smarter, your left and your right sides will be equal, and you'll be able to work on the left side of your horse and the right side of your horse. Now let's move on to the horses. So that Dr. Esko Buff, one of the things that he explained to us when we were taking his workshops was that he felt as though when a foal is lying in its mother's womb, it's not necessarily, at some point it has to kind of stay put because there's not a lot of room for it. It's not necessarily flipping over from side to side. But what he said is because it's laying in its mother's womb, and you can picture like front to back, right? The length of the mother's belly. So if the horse is laying on its side, then the side that is to the bottom of the mother's belly is going to be stretched longer than the side that is curled up. And so there's going to be naturally muscles that even grow longer because they have more room than the short side, the side that's kind of squished up, the side that's on the upper side. So if that happens in the womb, then when they come out, they're naturally going to have a better side and a side that's not as good. So when my horse Sterling was born, the woman who was there with him, who owned him, Barbara, she said he was born and he got up and he kind of straightened up his collar and then cantered around his mother to the right and then cantered around his mother to the left, had a little drink, and then laid down and have a nap. And that's why she called him Bogey for Humphrey Bogart, because he was just a perfect definition of suave and cool and debonair, and he was perfectly balanced right there at the beginning. But still, like humans, horses become one side dominant, especially in their environments. Like, so for example, here at my farm, I have a pasture, and on one side of it there's woods, and the other side of it it's very clear. And so Sterling can run anywhere that he wants, but he tends to run on the side of the pasture where there are no trees. So he'll take off running, and he'll run to the right, and he'll go really, really fast and really, really fast, and he doesn't necessarily want to go to the left. So just his natural environment is causing some asymmetries for him, because when I have him on a line and I want him to canter to the right, it's so easy for him. He can hold himself upright, carry himself around, but when he goes to the left, he wants to kind of look out and look away, and he's kind of leaning toward me and falling in to the center of the circle. So you might have that experience too, where the horse can't stay out and it seems like, well, he keeps coming in on me. Well, maybe it's because he's naturally asymmetrical, or he's asymmetrical because he's learned he's taught his body how to be unbalanced and he can't stay out. So that brings us to the opportunity to create a solution and help our horses and ourselves to be more symmetrical so we can be more athletic. And let's not forget the emotional component. So just taking that example of when my horse is, let's say he's cantering around me to the left on the line and he keeps coming closer and closer and closer, that could create an emotional response in me. Hey, I need you to move out. You're coming too close. Hey, I need you to carry yourself or move over there or bring your nose over here. And people use all manner of mechanical devices to fix this. You know, you see bits attached to surcingles or bits attached to long lines that, use the mouth to cause the bend in the direction that you want. But I'm here to encourage you and tell you, you don't need to use mechanical devices to help your horse carry itself. Imagine, if you would, if you were in physical therapy, and in physical therapy, your mouth was strapped to your side, so you would learn to lengthen the muscles on one side, so you couldn't move. You could only stay that way. You can imagine the discomfort that would be caused, maybe even the cramping in your body. There are better ways to teach our horses and our humans to do that, and we can appeal to a higher level thinking skill, and that's what I want to talk with you about, not only today, but throughout this whole podcast. We're going to talk about the relationship that actually creates what we want, so this two-way street of communication. So we're going to get into that now. So there's two primary exercises that help a horse to be more balanced left to right and front to back. So they're not necessarily falling on their forehand. And that might feel like, that also causes an emotional response in horses. Like you'll feel like let's say you have a horse and they just go really fast. They can't slow themselves down. It's like they're so forward, especially when you get into the higher gates, if you start getting into the canter and they're just going really, really fast. Likely it's a lack of balance. Likely they're heavy on their forehand and they really can't use their hindquarters. We can, of course, train this into our horses again. In the world of natural horsemanship, we use a lot of disengaging of the hindquarters, which puts all the weight on the forehand of the horse. And so we want to stop doing that. We want to start thinking about ways that we can help our horses elevate their front end, lighten their front end, and use their springy hind leg system to carry themselves, to move themselves from place to place. So when you look at the horse from the side, naturally, most horses are built heavy in the front. They have those big shoulders in the front and they have that long neck and they're constantly have their head on the ground and they're grazing all the time. So naturally, horses are heavy on the forehand. So when we want to ride them, we want to ask them to pick themselves up and carry themselves and move their hind legs under their belly, their center of mass, and carry themselves. Picture war horses of the past, you know, picture the knight in shining armor where they have so much weight that they're carrying that they need their hind legs. And it's just like us. Like, say, again, thinking back to our symmetry and our health and how lots of people go to physical therapy to learn how to protect their back, how to pick things up with their legs, with their springy, I call them hind legs, with their springy hind legs that have all these joints. You know, we've got these joints at our toes, and then our ankles, and then our knees, and then our hips. We've got all these joints. We've got these strong thighs so we can stoop down. We can bend our hind legs. We can pick up an object and use our legs to pick up an object rather than bending from our waist, picking up an object and only using our back muscles to pick ourselves up. So we want to encourage our horses to use their springy hind legs as well. If you ever get an opportunity to look at the comparison between the anatomy, especially the bone structure of a horse and a human, especially a horse kind of standing up more like a human, you'll see that the bone structure is almost identical. So it's a perfect analogy when we use our hind legs and we use their hind legs to start to really understand the difference between really carrying and then what I'm going to talk about, and that is pushing, hollowing your back and pushing. So when you stoop down, when you bend all your legs and you stoop down to pick up a heavy object, your back gets round. When you bend to pick up an object at your waist, your back gets hollow. So think about that for your horse. If he's carrying a rider, we want his back to be round. We don't want it to hollow to get away from the rider, right? We want the back to round up and carry us. But to do that, the hind legs need to come up under the horse. I'm not talking unnaturally forward, but they need to at least be under the horse. You'll even see this in high-level competition horses where, sure, they're all nicely collected and they look round, but you can see there's a hollow in their back, and a telltale sign is, where do the hind legs fall in carriage? Do they come up underneath the horse, or do you see them primarily out behind the horse's tail? You want to see the horse carrying himself with his legs underneath him. Again, not unnaturally. The horse obviously has to take his feet out behind him as well, but you want to ask him more and more often to be carrying his body and his weight on his hind legs so we can lighten the front end. Now, when we lighten the front end, this saves us all manner of health issues that can potentially come from a horse being dominant on his front end. So, for example, lots of horses have navicular issues, so issues in their feet. And you'll find that oftentimes that's a function of that natural asymmetry, because one foot is taking more of the weight, more of the concussion. It's hitting the ground more and quicker and with more force. And what will happen is, so you'll watch, right? You'll watch the horse and you'll see, and you can even tell this in yourself, right? You have, like, if you're going to go upstairs, right, you probably get to the steps and you think about which foot you're going to use. Well, you probably don't think about it. Probably naturally happens. Which foot is going to be the one that is the first foot that carries you up the steps? Horses are like this too. Horses will have a carrying leg and then they'll have a pushing leg. So you're going up the steps. You put probably your non-dominant leg on the step, your foot on the step, and the other leg pushes you up the step. Now, eventually, obviously, you're going up all the steps and you're pushing equally. But that's the way it begins. So just take note and see if that's true for yourself, because you can go and watch your horse. Your horse will have a naturally pushing leg, and look at the hind legs, and you'll have naturally carrying legs. So just go out and observe your horse and start to notice where he's carrying and where he's pushing. And what you'll start to see is there's going to be a tendency. There's going to be one leg that he's continually resting on and the other leg that hangs out behind that he's ready to push from. So just go into a little observation. At first, this can be a little tricky to see, but as you watch, you're going to start to see it more and more. And here's another way you can tell which is your dominant side and which is your more passive side. Which way is it easier for your horse to go? So you will use Sterling, my horse, as an example. So when he's going to the right, his right side is naturally shorter. And I'm talking about the muscles from front to back. They're naturally not as long as the muscles on the outside. And again, this is about the geometry, right? This is just the distance between his tail and his nose on the outside of his body when he's bent in a circle around me to the right, and his nose and his tail to the inside of the body. The distance is just shorter because the outside needs to stretch to get around the circle. When he goes to the left, he wants to keep that same shape. He wants to keep those muscles on his right side shorter and the muscles on his long side longer, because that's what he's trained them to do. That's how it's most comfortable for him to move. Very likely in that same scenario, his right hind leg is going to be more of a carrying leg and his left hind leg is going to be more of a pushing leg, only because it's longer and the right leg has to carry more because it's on the inside of the bend. So that happens, again, naturally, but then he is causing it to happen over repetitive motion over time. And therein lies the ticket to fixing this natural asymmetry or this learned asymmetry, so we can bring our horses back into a natural balance. So there's two primary exercises that help us, and I'm going to call them physical therapy exercises because I want you to really think about it in that way. You're really helping your horse, another being, to move in a way that's uncomfortable and potentially protecting him from injury or rehabilitating him from injury. So I want you to really think about it in the terms of physical therapy. So not only are you the physical therapist, but you're also the biggest cheerleader that your horse has, and you're also there to hold him to account for trying harder and for putting in the effort. And then you're there to reward him for when he puts in the effort and does the right thing. So it's incumbent upon you to make sure he knows when he's done the right thing, in the moment he's done the right thing, and then ask him to do that for a longer and longer period of time, for over the course of time. So the way physical therapy works is you need to do it for short periods of time often, right? So I know when my mom got her discharge instructions and she needed to do physical therapy, the instructions were 15 minutes at a time, 4 times a day, over the course of 4 weeks. So commit to really having you and your horse become partners in this course of physical therapy. And here's another nice little byproduct of this work that you'll be doing with your horse. You'll also be working on yourself, because you're going to have to do this work on the left side and on the right side of your horse. So your body is going to need to get smarter on the left side and on the right side. Your feel, your timing, your brain, your eyes, your ears, your fascia, all of it is going to need to come to a new heightened place of awareness so you can help your horse. And you know, this is just another example of what we do for the love of horses. You know, I have seen many, many women in particular do many, many things to help their horses be well. I mean, just look at how, just ask yourself, how many nights have you stayed up all night long, you know, with a horse waiting for the vet, or help walking a horse in the night who was colicking, or, you know, everything seems to happen at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? So I know that you have what it takes to do that, because that's why you're listening to this podcast. You have what it takes to help your horse through this time in his life. And you're going to have a horse because of it that is more sound for a lot longer. So I found this work when all of my mares, I have 5 mares, and they were all 15 years old. And I started thinking, you know, they're all fine right now, but I'm going to have a pretty geriatric, crew here in a little while. And if I want to have sound riding horses at 18, 19, 20, 25, then I need to help them move more efficiently, or their bodies are going to start breaking down. And that's just what happens to horses when we ride them. If we're just going to leave them, you know, to their own devices and move around at their own pace in their own environment, they're likely going to just be fine. But if we want to ride these horses and we want to go places and do things with them, we need to help them to be fit and strong in ways that they don't even know they need help. So they might argue with you. They might say, no, I don't need to bend to the left. That doesn't feel good. I don't need to. There's no reason to. Stop making me do that. And they might get upset with you. And this is, you know, this is their emotions that are coming up. But that same emotion comes up when you try to canter to the left, or when you're going down the trail and your horse is careening out of control because he's falling on his forehand. So that's why, you know, helping our horses physically helps our horses emotionally. And when we can help our horses and we can understand about our horses physically, it can help us emotionally too, thereby creating a relationship with our horse that's more along the lines of what we want, and not one of blaming, or one that's adversarial, not one that says, oh, my horse just doesn't want to go to the left. He doesn't want to work. Well, maybe it's hard. Maybe he can't. So I would assume his goodwill and get to work doing my little physical therapy exercises. So here's what they are. There's two primary exercises that help our horses with creating natural balance. There's shoulder in and haunches in. And these exercises need to be done on the ground. These will be riding exercises later, but we want our horses to be able to sort out their own bodies and carry themselves in a new way without the burden of a rider, without the pain of a bit, without the support of a spur or any kind of mechanical devices on our horses. We want them to learn to be responsible for carrying themselves like they did when they were babies. When they were babies, they learned how to carry themselves. They learned how to get up off the floor, how to canter to the right, how to canter to the left, how to forage. They can be responsible for carrying themselves in a more efficient way as riding horses, as well as horses who move simply in the pasture. And when you do these exercises enough with your horse on the ground, as a groundwork exercise or an in-hand exercise, you're going to start seeing your horses move differently in the pasture. And then all of a sudden, instead of just careening around the pasture to the right, they'll also go to the left. So let's start with the forward exercises, which is shoulder in. We're going to start with shoulder in first. You're going to position yourself on the ground. And you can do this with any halter and lead rope. You don't need any special equipment to do this. So let's just say we're going to start out going to the right. Okay, so you're going to be on the right side of your horse. I suggest you have some sort of a fence or a wall that can help you to hold the outside of your horse. because it's naturally going to maybe want to swing out. Maybe not so much to the right if your horse is shorter on the right, but when you get to the left and you want to shorten the left side, the right side of your horse is just going to go out and you're going to need a wall or a fence or something to help them. So you're going to stand at your horse's shoulder, and the goal is that there's going to be a nice even bend from nose to tail. Okay, so I don't want them necessarily curling around you in a shoulder in, but I want them to be soft, and I want there to be a bend from the nose. Obviously, it'll start at the pole, and it'll go to the neck, and it'll just be soft in the body. I don't want a horse that has a what's called a rubber neck, where I've got this bend in the horse's neck and then a stiff body. I want a nice soft bend, and I want to make sure it starts at the pole, which is the apex, which is up by the ears. So it's behind the ears. That's where it's going to start. And you can do this exercise for yourself. So just sit still and hold your shoulders still and just simply turn your head from left to right, not your shoulders, but actually bend your neck. And those are pole exercises for the horse, okay? So you want your horse to not have to turn their shoulders to look over their left shoulder, but just be able to turn your neck and look over your left shoulder or your right shoulder and have your shoulders be still, not have them move. So if you can't do that for yourself, you want to consider doing some exercises softly for yourself and for, you know, a period of time, maybe 4 times a day, you know, for a few minutes at a time over the course of weeks to help yourself be flexible in your pole. So when you do ride your horse in these exercises, you'll have a little bit more, not only empathy for them, but you'll have more athleticism in your own body. So we're going to start on the ground. We're going to stand next to their shoulder, and then we're going to simply ask for that bend in the front of the horse. We're going to ask that bend from the pole and the neck to kind of just be to the inside. The inside is going to be the side that you are on. It's the inside of the arena. And the outside of the horse is going to be along a fence line or a wall or whatever you've got. In my space, I have a wall on one side and I have my 30-foot horse trailer on the other side. So I have lots of spaces where there is nothing, and I've gotten it done. So I know that you can do this as well. So you're going to just walk forward. You're going to ask your horse to come forward from behind. And the only thing you're going to worry about at first is going to be that nice soft bend at the pole. You want your horse's ears to be level. You don't want them bending so their ears are vertical. You want their ears to be perfectly horizontal. That's how you're going to know that you have a nice little bend at the pole. Allow your horse to walk forward, and you're going to start noticing right away probably the pushing. You're going to notice that your horse is just pushing right through your leading hand and maybe even falling on you. In that case, you just stop your horse, you back them up, and then you ask again for them to thoughtfully come from behind. Thoughtfully, even maybe have the whole step initiate from behind. Okay, so the inside hind leg, hopefully, is going to be the first foot that moves. Don't stress about it if it doesn't. No worries. One day it will come. But just keep that in your mind. You want the hindquarters to be initiating the movement, and you want that inside hind leg, the one that's close to you, to be stepping under the center of mass. And at first it won't be able to step very far forward. But the thinking is it's going to be stepping to the inside of the horse. And when I say the inside of the horse, I mean under the horse's belly. I don't mean to the inside of the arena. I mean to the inside of the horse, right under the center of mass of the horse. And I think of it a little bit like this, with that inside hind leg. It's like, you know how models walk? You know, when you see them on the runway, they put one foot in front of the other. Like they walk with their hips first somehow, and they put one leg right in front of the other. Like they don't walk and legs don't have their own track. It's like feet land in the same exact path in the middle of their bodies. Okay, so think about that. That's what we want. We want our horse's inside hind leg, the one that's closest to you, to step to the inside of the horse's body, so under the center of mass, where a belly button would be. Now the outside leg, we want that just to step forward in the track of the outside front leg for now. So that's going to be our goal, and we're going to try to do that maybe on the whole long side of an arena, maybe let them rest on the short side of the arena, and then ask them to do that again on the whole long side of the arena. If you're getting this done and your horse is doing it pretty good, and you feel like your horse is not pushing, if you're not running and your horse is not pushing into your hand, if you feel like you can, the leading hand, the one that's helping with the lead rope and the halter, if you feel like you could just open that hand and your horse would not do anything but keep his posture, then you're probably on the right track. If you feel like your horse continues to fall forward and push, you just need more time. That's all it is. Because these habits didn't get built overnight and they won't go away overnight. So you just need more time. And remember, more time looks like short times often, not long sessions, because you don't, this is going to be fatiguing for your horse. You can imagine, you know, if we're reshaping muscles, if we're stretching muscles, you know, there could be pain involved. So just go slow and do it right. And then, of course, obviously, after we do that on the right, we're going to just go ahead and do the same thing on the left. Make sure, let me just say this. What I do for like Sterling, my horse who, you know, has a shorter right side and a longer left side, is I start on the left and then I go to the right and then I end on the left. So I might do 2-1, and I'm not talking a long time. I mean, this whole exercise, and along with the one I'm going to tell you about next, haunches in, probably only takes a half hour, you know, to do the whole thing a couple of times to the left and a couple of times to the right. So it's not going to take a long time. Now we're going to move on to haunches in. So with haunches in, what we want to do is we want to, again, stand on the fence line or stand on the wall, whatever we've got. And this time we're going to be standing in front of our horses. We're going to be out in front of their noses. And again, we'll think about this to the right, since I just made that example of being to the right. Now, I want you to understand something called the weapon line. Okay, because this is going to give you a clear idea about where you need to be and where you what you want to happen. So imagine you're sitting on your horse, and this is back in the 1700s, in the time of when we had war horses. We had highly trained war horses, and we had knights on horses, and they had a spear. And let's just imagine your opponent is standing to the right of your horse's head, on the ground or even on their horse, and you needed to spear that opponent. So you're going to use, your spear is going to be in your left arm. It's going to come across your body so you can have power. You're going to use your horse's outside hind leg, their left leg, to push this spear into your opponent. But you need your horse's head out of the way so you don't spear your horse's head, right? So it's a sideways maneuver, but there's a bend in the whole body, which keeps the head out of the way, and it keeps the haunches moving forward, not sideways. So that's the goal, okay? So the weapon line is that space from your horse's hind leg to where the opponent would be, and we're going to use we're going to the right, so we're using the right bend as an example. So the horse's left leg in a straight line to the horse's opponent, which is to the right of the horse's head, out in front. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just do a little YouTube search and look for war horses. Or you can even, if you've ever gone to medieval times, or you've ever gone to see jousting or a Renaissance fair, that's the goal. You know, they have the jousting pole in their outside arm, and they're coming along and they're, you know, jousting an opponent that's on the other side of a barrier. But if you didn't have a barrier, you'd want your horse's hind leg to really push. Otherwise, the knight, his whole arm and shoulder would take the brunt of the hit instead of having power behind it from the core of the knight and of the horse. We've seen pictures of those horses in those times who would just rock back on their haunches. Think of Levade, right? How a horse will crouch in Levade and is able to power its way forward, right? So that's what we want to think about. That's an extreme version of what we need to have happen, because obviously we don't need a horse that has that depth of flexibility in their hindquarters to carry us on the trail. But the more hindquarter flexibility that we have, the stronger our hindquarters are, the more our horses can step under themselves and get off their forehand, the better the horse is going to be able to carry, and the more they're going to be able to stop pushing and falling forward and having to careen off to the left or careen off to the right or just fall forward on the trail and just not be able to slow themselves down. So to do the haunches in, we're going to be standing out in front of our horse. Again, you don't need any special equipment for this. There's special equipment that they make that helps with the pushing. You know, it helps the horse maybe push a little bit less because there's a serrata or a cavesson that is a little bit firmer that your horse can wear that is going to allow it not to push into it. And some people do this exercise in a bit of some sort. I don't like to do that, but people do. And I recommend that you just use a halter and you appeal to your horse's higher level thinking skills. It's not necessarily the quickest way, but it certainly is a way that's going to appeal to the relationship and not just force the horse based on creating a painful environment for them not to necessarily move into. So when we do the haunches in, we're going to be standing in front of our horse. We're going to be walking backwards, and we're going to be drawing the haunches toward us. Again, we want to make sure that we've got a bend in the pole, and we've got a bend in the neck, and then we want a soft bend through the whole body. And if you focus on walking backwards and having that bend in the pole and in the neck, your horse's hindquarters are naturally going to start to come into the center of the arena, into the middle of the arena, and they're going to start to come toward you. If that doesn't happen, you can always focus on the outside hind leg. So the whole goal of the haunches in is that the outside hind leg is now stepping under the center of mass. So it's the one walking like the model. The outside hind leg is now focusing right in on the center of mass. And the inside hind leg is now stepping, well, you can do it anyway. It can step forward. It can step on its own track forward. It can step forward into the track of the front foot. It can step forward on its own track. And you can even have such a steep bend as your horse's outside hind is stepping to the inside of the inside four. So you can have two, three, or four tracks coming forward as you're working on that haunches in. Okay, so it doesn't really matter. But the goal ultimately is that pole and that neck have the bend slightly to the inside. Like, think about if you were riding, you'd just be able to see the horse's eye. So it's not going to be a steep bend. You don't want a big giant C curve around you. You don't want a banana bend around you. You just want a soft, slight bend to the inside where your horse can just bend his whole long side of his body or his outside of his body. And that's what's going to be stretching that outside. Again, you're going to find there's going to be an easier side and a harder side. But haunches in is a really natural position for our horses to move in. Any horse can do it. You'll see them when they're playing in the pasture, how they'll look at their opponent and they'll move their haunches toward them all at the same time, you know, and then usually they'll put their head in the air and then maybe spin around and kick a horse or something. But that picture of, you know, the horse bent in the direction of travel and moving in the direction of travel because that outside hind leg is coming under the center of mass and moving everyone forward. And it is a forward movement. This is not a sideways movement. It is a forward movement. You're walking backwards. Your horse is coming forward toward you. And that outside hind is stepping under the center of mass. So you're just training now that outside hind to move under and carry the weight of the horse. So I hope that's a good enough visual for you. I hope that makes a difference and you can figure that out. Certainly, I'll be available to ask any questions that you might have about that. So you can reach out to me by email, marianne@mariannebrewer.com. You can also find me on social media. There on Facebook, I have a Facebook group, Marianne Brewer Facebook group, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have. I'd be happy to put some pictures up on the website so you can see what I'm talking about and some little videos so you can get a sense of that there. So thanks for joining me for this, our inaugural season one, episode one of our In the Company of Horses podcast with Marianne Brewer. It's the relationship-based horsemanship for the love of horses from A to Z. Please join us next time when we move on to B, where we're going to talk about all things babies. And when I talk about babies, I mean we're going to be talking about babies from birth to 4 years old. We're going to talk about colts and fillies, and about training and creating the relationship of your dreams from the beginning. And we're going to focus on an ounce of prevention being a pound of cure. So join us next time for season 1, episode 2, Babies, Colts, and Fillies up to 4 years old. Thanks so much.